Good morning, church. How are we all? What better place to be on a Sunday morning? Amen? Yeah. Amen. Apologies for a good problem to have is that the baptism tank was out this morning, so we had to put more chairs out at the back, which is a really great problem to have. So how good is the house of God filling up? Amen. We're gonna pray about this and preach about this all day today. But I see this year that there are people running into churches all over Australia this year. There are people absolutely running to the altars all over this country this year. So we're gonna start in prayer. God, we thank you that you are with us, that you are for us, and that the world cannot be against us. God, that your kingdom will come, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we pray today that this church, that all the churches across Melbourne, all the churches across Australia, that we surrender to you and to your will and to your way. And God, we pray that we thank you that we get to be a part of this great vision that you've built, that you want to achieve, and Lord, that you've let us be a part of it. We thank you, God, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, as always, we're going to start with a story. Now, this story, I recently met a social worker. And this social worker works with families, young kids, and particularly broken families. And getting to know this social worker, she's been with her boyfriend for a long time. And not a Christian. And I sort of started to challenge, hey, I know you well enough. How come you're not married? Right? Like, what's stopping you? And I think we've all had this conversation before. She said, it's just a piece of paper. It's just, what good is it? I've been living with him for this long, what's the difference? All of that stuff. And I sort of asked her, what's the purpose of marriage? Like, what is the purpose? And she'd said that her parents had broken up and that his parents had broken up. And so she started to see that it wasn't any good. And as a social worker, she's seeing that all of these families are broken all the time. And I said to her, what do you think the solution to that is? Like, why do you think that problem has occurred? What do you think the solution to that problem is? And she said, I don't know why it's happened, but, I think the solution is a social worker that's in with families and in with communities before the breakdown happens. Like actually to build up the value of marriage. And so I challenged her and I said to her, hey, look, in the Western culture since, early sort of 40s, 50s, there's been a devaluing of church. There's been a devaluing of church and all the values that church holds dear. And one of those is marriage. I said, and because of that devaluing of marriage, we're at where we are today. I said, now tell me, who do you think the social worker is before the marriage breakdown, before the government would get involved before that? It's the church, right? It's the connect group leader. It's your friends that have been discipling you. It's the people that you're supposed to do community with. And the fact of the matter is, as we look over Western history, we can see that as the church devalues, or as society devalues the church, the moral breakdown just becomes so toxic throughout culture. And people are hurting. The last few weeks, we've really talked about getting this vision for your life that is God-centered, not comes out of you, not your thoughts and your feelings and your, the things that make you angry or the things that make you passionate, but what God has put on your heart. And then how do you make God the center of the vision that you've set for your marriage? What's the purpose of your marriage? And then what's the purpose of your family and the vision that you set for your family? So today, I want to ask you, what's the purpose for the church? Is the purpose of the church just to, make sure marriages stick through? Purpose of the church just to make sure that people don't fall into moral depravity? What is the purpose of the church? We're going to read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. And this is a conversation with Habakkuk and God. And God says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. Is your vision for the purpose of the church and what the church is to achieve so clear in your mind that you could run with it, that you wouldn't lose it? Is it so precious to you? What is the purpose of the church? I want to present three things that I think the church is, the whole purpose of the church. So if you're taking notes, now is your time. Write down 1, 2, 3. Emily, I can see you taking notes. That is awesome. Great job. The first purpose of the church is to edify God, to lift up God, to worship Him. And so when you come on a Sunday and we do corporate worship and we celebrate our friends getting baptized and we celebrate the work of God that has so wonderfully changed our lives, that's one of the main reasons the church exists. To glorify God. The second one is to build up the body of believers, to be an example of what a community looks like when it is dedicated to God and led by God. This is the kingdom of heaven on earth. This is, what does it look like when a life, a marriage, a family, and a community are dedicated to God? Build each other up. Lead each other back to God. Example His kingdom. And the third one is to sow the seeds. To introduce Jesus by loving others, teaching them about Jesus in order that they may have an opportunity to meet Him and be a part of this community. That's the purpose, not of our church. That's the purpose of the church. That's the global purpose of the church, to worship and glorify God, to be an example to all people of what life can look like devoted to God, and to sow the seeds that they may come to know God. Our lives, our marriages, our families, and our communities are supposed to be a small slice of what God's kingdom looks like. Now, that's not always the case. It's not always the case. Sometimes our families are a mess. Sometimes our lives are a mess. We go through stuff. But it's supposed to be the closest thing to heaven on earth. Lives, marriages, families, and communities devoted to and led by God. A light to the world that's in this absolute darkness of deception. I know you see it. I know if you're like me and you're on YouTube shorts, or if you're a little bit younger than me and you're on Instagram Reels, or if you're a little bit younger again and you're on TikTok, right? I know it's all the same thing. Don't worry. It's just like it happens on TikTok. 2 days later, it's on Instagram. And then 2 days later, it's on YouTube. Like that's how that works. I know you can see that the world is so longing for the answer. And they're so longing for anything that will fill this God-shaped hole in their heart. This is my YouTube algorithm, but it can be anybody's. My YouTube algorithm is basketball, NBA. But man, there's people that devote their lives to that. And they're still trying to fill it. And they watch all the content. They're trying to fill it all. But it's not ever enough. Then the next best one is preaching that's on my own shorts. But like, people are looking for anything. And sometimes they find it in sinful stuff and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they try and find it in something that's not sinful. And it's not that thing's bad. Basketball's not bad. If you've ever played, it's lots of fun. It's great. But I'm not any good at it because I'm really short. Just ask Justin. We've played against one another. I won just on one of those last shot wins kind of things, but he was like actually 10 points up. But anyway, yeah, 52 points up. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The world's longing for an answer. And we've got it. We've got it in our lives. We've got it in our marriages. We've got it in our families. And we've got it in this community here at church. So I want to ask you today about the vision for our church here Infinity Church. I want you to ask God for direction. Within the overall purpose of the church, within those three things, what this year does God want to do in you in the church? In years gone past, yeah, we've preached about the vision of the church, and I'll go into a little bit of that. But really today's question is, what does God want to do in you in the church? We talked about building a vision for your family. A vision for your personal life with God centered what do you want to do in my life? Then God, what do you want to do in my marriage? Then God, what do you want to do in my family? And God, what do you want to do in my church? Because the fact of the matter is, this is not my church. It's your church. It's your church, Arun. It's your church, Jerry. It's your church, Nicolette. Like, it's your church, Craig. A little bit, you know, it's not anymore. But no, I joke. Craig can take that joke. It's okay. It's all good. It's your church. God, what do you want to do in my church? Is the question that you want to ask today. This year, I want to invite you to be a part of that community vision. You to be a part of what God wants to build. It has to be God-centered. It has to be God-initiated. It has to be His idea. That doesn't mean I want everybody to run up and be like, I think we should build a playground for the kids out the front and don't worry about OH&S, right? Like, no, I don't think that that's a good idea. But it means I want you to pray, God, what do you want to do in my church this year? What do you want me to do in my church this year? I want to communicate a little bit about the short term, the medium term, and the long term vision of our church. Mainly, this is for people that have joined our church in the last 12 months and you haven't heard this as much as everybody else who's been here for 30 years like Bob and Rita. The short term vision of our church really comes from the long term vision. We want to do the things in the short term that will get us to the long term. But most of the vision of our church has come from a prophecy more than 25 years ago. That we would be a church that ministered to the nations. It's why we have 4 services a weekend. So in the short term, the first things first is that we want to be God-led. This year, we want to be chasing God and glorifying God. It's the purpose. It's the first purpose of the church. That's what we want to do in our lives. The second thing, takes a lot of courage to say, but I firmly believe it's true, is that revival is coming in across Western nations this year. The Melbourne will be coming to Jesus in droves. That they will be running into churches all over our city, running to the altar all over our city. I know Jerry believes it. Amen. This year, we want to go to war for the whole church. Not go to war for our church, go to war for the whole church. We want to go to war for the kingdom of God and take all of that deception and stuff that hurts her, the church, and just build her up. We want to build within our own church on the strengths that we have. You may or may not know, because you probably don't understand Arabic, and that's okay. But our Arabic service is growing and doing so well. They're going so great. But they've got some points where they need to help. Particularly, most of the pastoral care is being done by Hani, by one person. And if you don't know, in our English service, we've got a large pastoral care team that's very effective. And so this year, we want to start to build on those strengths and start to join, where possible, our pastoral care team and help them build a pastoral care team of their own and help those people. We want to build a joint prayer team so that instead of just, you know, being in a prayer team and hearing only the English people needs for prayer, that we're praying for the whole church. That's an area that neither the Farsi team have nor the Arabic team have, but we've got strength there in the English service. And so we want to start to build together and strengthen one another. This year, we want more power of the Holy Spirit, absolutely unashamed. God, have His way in our services. This year, the committee of management have already sort of known about this, but we're going to be restructuring our finances a little bit just to simplify. Right now, it's super complicated, not in how it reports, like how the reports look really easy. It's actually how we move all the transactions and do everything. So we're going to simplify all of that. The reason we're going to do that is that we want to be able to scale in the future. We want to be able to build churches. We want to be able to add services. It's going to be great. And this year, we're going to do celebration. We're 30 years old. I feel like I've lost 3 years. It's great. It's awesome. 30 years old. We're going to celebrate. We're going to unpack Jesus' character in our themes. We're going to do deep dives on marriage, deep dives on family. And that's just the first half of the year for our themes. And this year for Kingdom Advance, I don't know that it translated so well to the Arabic service because there wasn't a lot of pledges from the Arabic service, but there's been a lot of giving from the Arabic service towards Kingdom Advance. And so this year, we're already probably 40% of the way towards our total pledge amount for Kingdom Advance. So I think we just need to translate that better. It's not, they've got the heart, they just forgot to pledge. It's all good. In the medium term, in the 2 to 5 years, the church isn't changing direction because the purpose of the church remains the same. It's the same promise. It's just new ways that we do that. It's opportunities that come up. One of the greatest opportunities that I think our church has in the future, in these next few years, is in Jordan, there's a church. And the family that runs this church, they're absolutely awesome. Great family. And this family and their church, their ministry, their outreach, is that they take in refugees from all over Arabic nations. Take in refugees and they help house them in Jordan for the 2 to 5 year period that it takes for them to get refugee visas. Or, you know, temporary refugee visas. Be that in Australia, be that in America, be that in Germany, wherever they're taken in as refugees eventually. And this church is so passionate about seeing these people saved and changed and their lives totally turned around, taken out of poverty and taken out of danger and restored into God's kingdom, that they're partnering with churches all across the world to have a place to send these people when they go. They're going to caretake for them for 2 years to 5 years. And then they're going to send them in. And if their visa is approved for Melbourne, hey, awesome, we've got a church you can go to in Melbourne. And they speak Arabic and they don't care where you're from. And you're going to be able to get connected. And we've got a church in Adelaide and all this. In the next 5 years, already there are 300 families in that program. That doesn't mean all 300 are going to get approved for visas in Melbourne. But when they get here, most of the time they don't speak a word of English. Most of the time they have no furniture in their houses that they're put up in. Most of the time they have no clothes other than the ones that they brought with them. And most of the time the Centrelink payments that they receive are not enough to get approved for a rental house or anything like that. And of course they can't speak English. So getting employment is incredibly difficult. These people are hurting. They've just been through war and moved their whole families. And so we've got this great opportunity to partner with them so that when they rock up at the airport, we can pick them up. Or when they're released from you know, their quarantines, we can pick them up. We can get them a place to stay, and we can put furniture and clothes on their back, and we can help them. See, our vision has always been to be a community hub. Our vision has always been to see the most vulnerable people in our society, that we can help them, that you can come to Infinity Church and get whatever needs you have met. So I'm super excited about that. I am absolutely super excited that this church wants to just send people in. I'm excited that we want to train church planters, train preachers, train church staff, demographic leaders, group leaders, community leaders. At conference last year, God gave us a really scary vision to plant a church or a service every 5 years. That was almost 12 months ago, so we've got 4 years left. Whoever wants to put their hand up to plant a church, now's your time. That's a massive vision. That's one that scares me. But I know that God said it, and so he's going to provide for it. Now we want to chase that vision. God, who is it? God, what do you want to do? What do you need to build? When we plant, the ultimate goal would be to plant three services. We plant Infinity Church, we plant Farsi, English, Arabic. Bang. And so we don't just need to train up one preacher and, you know, we need to train three every time we plant. We want to see the financial growth of the church. Last year, we had our first positive year after many years that we'd either been break even or negative. It was only a small amount of savings, but we were able to put a little bit of savings away last year. For the long-term vision, we'd love to build or buy a building. That's a God-sized vision, because right now, we don't have anywhere near the money we would need for a deposit. We need a miracle. In the vicinity of $1 million to $2 million kind of miracle. It would cost $5 to $10 million to build something that would suit. And so, we want to be here for another 30 years. Amen? Maybe not me for another 30 years, but like, I might retire by then. And River takes over. No, I don't. That's a miracle that we need. But we want to be able to be here as a pillar to our community like we have been for 30 years, for 130 years. A place where all people can find God wherever they're at. And it's going to take significant finances to plant a church every 5 years. All of that means that there's a lot that God wants to do. So I want to ask again, what does God want to do in you, in your church? The values aren't changing. It's still evangelism, discipleship, and generosity that Naomi remembered without looking at the page. It's still a continual focus on being led by the Spirit, by being God's hands and feet. But today I want to switch that on for you. Not to hear the vision, but to ask God, what is the vision that you want for me in my church? Build your God-instigated vision of church in your personal life, in your marriage, and in your family. Build God's kingdom in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your church. I want you to help build the church's vision. The church is you, it is not me. Like I said before, it's not the ministry team. It's not just the committee of management. Sure, those guys, they've taken on great roles and they're doing awesome jobs. But this is your church. This is you, your family, your marriage, your church. your community, dedicated to God and led by Him. So I want you to help build the church's vision. And also, I want you to see and picture a church where that culture is my church. Where we all have God's vision and purpose in why we serve. Not the idea of I have to serve because Jono asked me and he's big and he might beat me up. It's the, wow, how good is it that God has called me to serve in my community. And what a great community we have that can be this amazing pillar, this light in the world of darkness where people can find the real answer to what they've been longing for. So today, assuming you've already built this vision with God over the last few weeks for your personal life, for your marriage, and for your family, I want you to ask God, what is the vision for my church? Not what's the vision that Daniel said on Sunday. What is the vision for my church? What do you want me to do to build this wonderful, God-focused and led community? God, we thank you today. That you are putting on each of our hearts the vision for your church that you want us to follow. The vision that for us is going to be so central that it's just a part of our normal lives. God, we thank you that priority one is our relationship with you. You in our marriage, you in our family, and you in our church. God, we thank you today that you are in all of that. And Lord, though we know it won't be perfect, and that it'll be a hard road to see the vision come to pass, because we know it hasn't been easy over the last 30 years. But God, we pray that your vision comes with your provision. That your vision comes with your assistance, your comfort, your strengthening, your courage. And God, we pray that over each and every life today, that you're building in them this amazing, wonderful vision of your church. In your mighty, wonderful name. Amen. Amen.